Welcome to this episode of Radio Free HPC, the podcast that discusses high-performance computing topics, including new technology, data center efficiency, AI, and the like. Now join your hosts, Dan Olds, Henry Newman, and Shaheen Khan for this edition of Radio Free HPC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another rebooted Radio Free HPC episode. It's incredible that we've done two without taking a big, long break. So we're back here. Everybody's at home base. We've got Shaheen down in the valley. How's it going, Shaheen?
Excellent. I'm glad we are rebooted. Are we rebooted in multi-listener mode or single-listener mode?
You know, I think that's going to be their choice. We're going to see. I've not seen any sort of internet bending amount of volume coming out of that. But then again, neither one of you put it on any social media.
Oh,
I'm not social.
Well, yeah, that's assumed. But you know, Shaheen, you're on the X every once in a while. You've got some social media accounts. How about throwing us just a little bit of love?
I will see to it that all of my powers of social influence are engaged here.
Good, 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 good. And we've got Henry Newman in his survivalist compound in Las Cruces, New Mexico. How's it going, Henry?
Yeah, I'm gonna see you, Dan. And yeah, I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. Hot enough for you?
Temperature, let's see, what's the temperature right now? It's probably hot enough. Temperature in my garden is 104.
Whoa.
Point zero.
I've got
it's lower than it was 10 minutes ago.
I've got 118 on one of my three sensors and 90 on the others.
Whoa.
You know, I put these in vacuum-packed bags, and I have a label on them. Please do not move.
That's the enough lawn, of a gap to get pretty good efficiency from liquid cooling.
The lawn guy comes in and seems to move them every time. Anyway, so what are we going to talk about today?
Weather.
That's why I asked about the weather.
Prediction, not weather.
Yes. Big news in the last week or so is that NOAA is going all in on Google Cloud, which they run some supercomputers there, about 49 petaflops. I'm actually surprised it's not bigger. But they are moving lock, stock, and barrel to Google Cloud. There's not an incredible amount of detail out there, but that perturbs me along with other things.
I would say it's less than a credible amount of detail. There's no details.
Yeah, I was being polite.
But is it known, so far? Is it known that the weather forecasting part is moving?
Yep.
Okay. That is what's moving, Shaheen.
Okay.
Which is critical. It's critical to the country right now. I mean, we're in hurricane season, no hurricanes because of El Nino, but we're getting tornadoes and we're getting fires, and weather prediction is important to the lives of all those people.
It's critical to so much that we probably don't
fishing fleets,
think about
everything.
Yeah.
You know, Alaska, Boston, you know, all the fleets in the East Coast, the West Coast.
Air travel.
Boat air travel.
Now, military, a few years ago, UK Met had a deal with Microsoft where it was partially on site, partially in Microsoft, some kind of a roadmap. Is there any learnings from that experience of UK Met that is informing this move?
Well, it's a different deal, though. UK Met, because I remember we did a show or two on it, but that was a colo. That essentially was a colo.
Was that just like phase one, or that's how it was going to be forever?
That's anyway, how it was going to be.
My question is, did they watch what happened with UK Met and they said, you know what, we've now seen how this works and we could now take it to the next stage? Is that what's going on, or what is going on? Do we know?
Unknown, as far as I can tell, in what I've read.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds like a really good sales effort. And I would hazard to say that the terms and conditions of this first deal, they're going to vary markedly in the next deal. Henry, you had your hand up.
No, I was just stretching.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, do we know whether they put it out for bidding and RFPs and all that, or how did this deal come about? Why Google? Why not Azure, which kind of had the UK Met experience and could have pointed to it? Why not AWS? Why not something else?
Unknown, as far as I can tell.
It's a great topic to talk about.
but there was in the one chunk of information that came out is it made it sound like the streets are paved with gold, that they'll be able to have the elastic capacity, and that, you know, you only pay for what you use. And I'm just thinking that that is dreamland, because I don't see Google keeping, you know, 49 petaflops free for whenever the weather service might need them. And there's also something in here that caught both Henry's and my eye, that the reduction in processing, they estimated at a substantial 97% reduction.
Yeah, wow. Which says to me they're, well, which makes no sense to me given how physics models work, which says to me my guess, but we don't know, they're moving to all AI.
I still think you need physics in there, and my
everybody else thinks that too in the weather world.
the thing that I sort of got from that, and from pushing on a lot of, or at least several AI sources, is that that's for the inference part of the forecasting. It's not for the training of the models behind it. Mm-hmm. There's no shortcuts in that. And Henry, how much data do you think they have in all of their models?
I would guess at this point, I haven't looked at it in a couple of years, nearly an exabyte. Because every day you have all the temperatures, pressures, and velocities you collect from around the world, and you save that. Then you save the output of your forecast, and then you save what the real weather is.
And there's some guy at a keyboard going, save as. What's the date today? And what time is it? Okay, yeah, yeah. It's a huge process.
It's a once a day thing, though. So,
but you need that. You need all that data for model verification.
Yeah, and you're going to need it. And when it comes time to train again, you're going to train on all of that data.
Right.
Now, Dano, I seem to recall that some industry analysts had run some TCO analysis between cloud and on-prem.
Well, yes, I did. And
that was you?
Know, yes, it was. And, you know, it's about, depending on the deal and all of that, but for a, you know, 248 GPU system, it's between 3.5 and 5x, depending on the time frame. But what I suspect, and in our pre-call, we were talking about paranoia. And for me, it's paranoia, but it's also, I think everybody's motives are just awful. So take that into account with this. But if I'm Google and I'm figuring out the strategy to capture a big public organization like that and get all of them and keep them and have that as a glamour reference deal and make money, I give them a sweetheart deal for the first few years. Mm-hmm. You know, while we try this out and we're making sure and all of that, and that would include, you know, cheap elastic capacity and all of that, because what you want as Google is for them to give up that on-prem. And what you need to have happen is for them to take the budgeteers within NOAA to take the expense of on-prem, the maintenance, the service, the parts, the refreshes, all that stuff, and just move that over into the cloud budget and say, hey, look at what we're saving. And once you have, they're going to get rid of the people as well. And once you have, I don't know, maybe a year and a half of that, maybe a little longer, then they're never going back because they don't refresh.
Because moving the data is expensive, Dan.
Yeah, but getting the people and the expertise back after you've blown them out, all the myriad of things that go into having a large data center are going to be gone. They're going to be obsolete. And so they'll never go back to on-prem. I don't think they could get the budget approval to make a wholesale move, but the hard part's going to be getting the skills back.
Now, could they say that's the right thing to do?
Well, Dan, the budget approval will come if there's a disaster like Sandy.
Yes. Yeah. And I hope that that, of course, doesn't happen, but I'm concerned about the performance of it, about how it's going to work. And if, you know, there's some compromises that need to be made because of this cloud infrastructure.
So let me try again. Could they say that this is the right thing to do, that we are now getting to a point in the evolution of computer industry that having this kind of expertise in-house is just not needed anymore?
They didn't say it about the expertise, but they it was generally framed as, you know, we're the leaders moving forward here into our cloud future. They said
same idea.
Yeah, they didn't say we're going to blow out all these people and cut OpEx, but they're going to, OpEx is going to the cost justification of this.
Well, but I think ECMWF and others have proven that you can't do it that way.
Is that right? I thought you just said that UK Met might have proven that you can.
First of all, they're not, yes, you can do outsource things for computer hardware.
It was a colo.
But NOAA is not the leader in forecast by far.
By far?
Yes.
Really?
ECMWF's forecast is far more accurate.
And I don't think that the Met Office, going back to memory, but you folks at home can go back into our archives and find that episode of Radio Free HPC. But
we did talk about it back then, yeah.
We did, and I don't believe that they were blowing out any people. They were changing where they were going to go to work.
That's right.
And it was essentially a colo. And from what, at least I haven't heard anything bad about it.
I also recall that the accuracy of the model depended on what it is they're trying to predict. Like for hurricanes, some models were better than the others. And for some other weather phenomena, the other models. Is that true, Henry?
I haven't looked at it in the last couple of years, but at the time, it was true.
Yeah, and some are really good at the outliers, like raining frogs or raining stones.
Rarely seen, but
rarely
when it does
seen.
Happen, you want accuracy.
You want to know. You want accuracy, and you want to know ahead of time. Yeah, especially that, you know, end of the movie, Carrie, rain of stones. That's key. But I don't know. I don't buy the economic model working when you have sustained demand, even though it is somewhat predictable by season. There's always peaks that you don't anticipate.
But Henry's conjecture, I guess, that this is all about AI rings true.
Yeah, but how do you get rid of the physics?
You don't.
Underneath?
You just kind of incorporate it into your AI-enabled model.
And that's all good. But when you're going to do a model, you got to retrain it when you get more data.
But if you need access to many, many GPUs, and you can just readily have them in a big cloud hyperscaler situation, maybe that is the better way to go.
Who's paying for that, though? Because the thing is, with the clouds, including Google, if you want ongoing GPU access, you got to reserve it ahead of time for months or years.
Well, unless they're dedicating a set of hardware to this activity, which I would believe that's what they're going to do.
But that means somebody's taken the economic hit for the idle capacity when it's idle.
I guess who's doing that? And you know what? There's not that much idle capacity in a NOAA system because they're always, they have multiple systems. They're always running model verifications. And then at a certain time every day, multiple times a day, they run the forecast in various forecast models. And then in between that time, they're running, you know, tests to optimize the next forecast that's coming out in a couple of years or whatever.
And then to me, though, that implies that their demand is pretty high and sustained, which again makes the cloud model, unless Google's doing it as a donation to the country and not making any profit on it.
I as a Google stockholder, I think the stockholders would be against that.
Yeah, I would think so. There's one for the team, but that's a big hit.
They have these public-private partnerships that the administration has started as part of the Genesis mission and such.
They've had those for a while, too.
So
you're right.
That might be the way that
it's like
GSA, to accelerate.
Like GSA pricing.
Right. So
right. But is it in the government's interest to push everybody to cloud, to public cloud?
Well, if they're accelerating the gear, that could be the reason that you could either wait a year or you could have it now if you went to the cloud, et cetera. Something like that.
Maybe. You could also use it for tire kicking the cloud. That's readily available.
I mean,
it's going to pay higher prices.
There's plenty of that, Dan. You're absolutely correct. I agree with that.
And that's one. I mean, clouds are hotels. And hotels are great. We need them. They're vital because I don't want to go to a week-long business conference and have to do a lease on an apartment or buy a house. That's what I use hotels for. That's what everybody uses hotels for. But you don't live in them year in, year out, every night, every day. Because that gets
some people.
Unless you're a famous actor.
well, some people who traveled a lot did.
That's true. Just look at their Marriott nights.
If you're and Henry was in that category, but here's the thing, Henry, you lost quite a bit of flexibility. You got no kitchen. You don't really have much control over the security of the place. There's
right.
a whole bunch you give up. But right. hotels are convenient and they're in the right place, and that's all great.
Hmm.
We also did do, for those out there listening, did do a show where we commemorated Henry's 10 years worth of Marriott only nights over his career. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
That's
yes.
pretty awesome.
But it's just, it's not, this comes down to not technology, but economics. It's the rent versus buy decision. When do you rent? When your use is sporadic and it's not
you also rent
you need to have all the time.
If building a house is going to take you 10 years.
But you can, there's ways around that.
Mm.
I mean, and the other thing is that houses are long-lived assets, but so are some technology things too. I mean, like your liquid cooling that you put in, for instance, that's going to stay generation after generation. The GPUs, that'll stay as long as NVIDIA makes CUDA available for it, for that particular one. You've got probably 5-6 years mm-hmm. on that. But, you know, the rest of it can stay pretty much the same. CPUs, you'll probably bump those up too.
Well, guys, I think we've
this has been a great topic for us.
Because there is no more data. We're just talking around in circles.
I mean, we are. Do we have any predictions? I predict
at some point when we have a bad weather event, if they move to it, it will end poorly.
I echo that prediction. Shaheen?
I don't know enough, really. I think that this could be the right thing to do, could be not. I don't know. I mean,
way to put a stake in the ground. That's the Gene Khan style.
There's no way to put a stake in the ground.
It could be the right thing to do, but no one, there's not enough data. And we were not given enough data to give an opinion. And that's part of the issue that I have a concern with.
I see. That's one of the concerns. Why is there not more data?
There should be.
I see. That's a valid point. Yeah.
Yeah, there really should be at this point.
And
You
could also say that lack of data doesn't bode well. Why is there not?
Yes. Yes. But you know what? Do you hear that in the background?
Oh, bring it back.
You have not heard that sound in 193 months and maybe a couple of weeks. That means that it's time for our catch of the week.
Yay.
You want to lead us off, Henry?
Yes, Dan. There was an interesting article in the Register this morning that I read that the Chinese are looking to ban Palo Alto Networks.
Why would they do that? Nice enough company.
Being that I'm more paranoid than most of the people you know, or maybe all the people you know.
Yeah.
My guess is they have found a zero day. They won't want us to find a zero day, the same zero day, and therefore you ban it so you can take advantage of the zero day you found.
That's really paranoid, but I would also wonder if maybe they found a back door.
Well, that's a zero day, Dan.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah. But I mean, to me, a back door is it's intentional. A zero day could be just a mistake.
I would think it would be a zero day. I think Palo Alto is pretty darn, aware of things and know that you can't put a back door in without someone eventually finding it.
Eventually, yeah. That's a good one. That is a good one. Shaheen, what do you got?
I got this app. You should go to app.watchduty.org. Mm-hmm. And it's real-time disaster intelligence. It gives you a map of
every single thing from a campfire all the way up to a conflagration.
You can zoom in and basically find out what's going on. And, of course, you look across the country and you say, wow, I get a big picture of what all is going on.
It's all on fire.
The icons are rather big for the map.
Yeah, a little bit.
So the area that is under attack is way smaller, but anyway, it has a pretty good interface and it's quite interesting.
Well, I know that we're getting the smoke here locally.
Yeah, you can go find out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right now it doesn't have much in Portland itself, but there is a grasshopper fire.
Yeah, it's Mount Hood.
East near Mount Hood, and that looks pretty big.
Spokane is pretty rough.
That's right. Yeah. So hours of endless
fascination and doom
to worry. Yeah.
Can you choose from different disasters?
I believe you can. There's you got layers because of all the mapping data structures that they use, and you can look at various, there's a, legend of what shows what, but anyway, it gives you a bunch of controls.
But imagine in this world of connectedness and cameras everywhere that probably fairly soon you're going to be able to see, versions of this map for just like a category like generally unpleasant people.
All manner of disaster.
Or, dinner party faux pas, something like that. Where's it more likely? Where's it occurring right now? Good one. Well, I've got an interesting catch. Have you folks been keeping up on what's happening with memory prices?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They've gone up.
A little bit. Even disk drives have gone up.
Oh, yeah, disk drives have gone up.
Although that's because Henry left the disk drive business.
Yeah, that's true. But it's interesting that some people have compiled some data, historical data, and the last time that RAM was this expensive was back around 2008.
The flood or the fire?
Well, that was Thailand. That was Thailand. That was disk drives.
The flood was Thailand, but there was also a fire. Like, this is many years ago, though.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But 2008, and if you adjust it for inflation, RAM hasn't been this expensive per gig since 2011.
What about core RAM back in the 60s? That was expensive.
Yeah, but this is not going all the way back till then. But appreciated that you decided to throw that in.
Magnetic core was a pretty pricey thing.
What was that that first disk drive, right?
The one that spinning, looks like the spinning aluminum.
That takes basically a lawnmower engine to spin it. It's the size of a dishwasher. Yeah. I'm just imagining the noise from that.
That IBM building is still there in San Jose, and it's available for a lease, presumably.
And didn't you send that out as a potential catch of the week, Shaheen? About
I did.
100, you can still read data off of those?
Century scale storage, it's called.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, I mean, we've got these little miniature platters now, and those platters were the size of the gong behind Keith Moon at Who concerts. How's that for a reference, Paul?
Only people our age would recognize that reference.
That's right.
But it would take younger people than us to lift them.
That's right.
A number of them.
A number of them, and carefully.
Kids are all right, though, Dano.
Yes, from the kids are all right. There you go. Epic movie. Okay. Well, with that, let's go ahead and call this an episode. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. And, give us a follow on on X or something, right? Spread the word around. We're trying to hit our peak of, I believe, 19 listeners. And we're not halfway there yet. We're not maybe a third of the way there yet. So every little bit helps.
But Dan, we can't be a third of the way to 19 because 19 is a prime number and it isn't divisible by 3.
Boy, your mechanical prime thing that you can just, if something's prime, that is
really. We'll take 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Henry Newman, more machine than man. And he proves it with his prime number coprocessor.
Tune in next time when we look at mixed precision.
Tune in next time when we throw more maybe primes than Henry. Maybe not. We're going to go into 3, 4, 5, 6 digits and see where we get to. We'll get this thing benchmarked out for you. Anyway, thanks again. Thank you, guys. Great doing this. Been fun. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That's it for another groundbreaking edition of Radio Free HPC. The boys hoped you enjoyed it. If you did, help spread the word. You can use your computer modem to connect to their internet address at www.radiofreehpc.com. You can also connect with the show on X social media at Radio Free HPC. Click the follow button. Over time, you'll find new episodes wherever both high quality and mediocre podcasts are found. Good day.